Hi, everyone. Thanks so much to our listeners for joining us for this important conversation and celebration of NAS's 40th anniversary, and to our board members for being here today and making it possible. We'll get started in a moment, but first, I want to introduce myself and just share a little bit of context. My name is Darren Dudley, and I'm the Vice President of Learning and Engagement at NAS. For those of you that may be new to our work at NAS, our mission is to build and support a diverse community of arts and culture leaders who drive inspiring change for the future. Our vision is a world in which everyone working in arts and culture is empowered with equitable access to resources and connected within thriving networks that benefit all people and our planet. To make our mission and vision a reality, we offer professional development opportunities, coaching, and a powerful network to arts and culture leaders at every stage of their careers. This year, NAS is celebrating our 40th anniversary. It's a pretty big milestone for us, and as we thought about how we wanted to honor it, we decided what felt most meaningful was reflecting on what we've learned over the years and sharing those learnings with our community. That's why we're here today, to speak with some of our board members. We know that developing and managing a board of directors is something a lot of nonprofit organizations struggle with. We've struggled with it ourselves, and we're incredibly proud of the way our board has evolved over the years. So today we're going to talk about that journey. So let's get started by introducing the three board members here with me today. So I'm here with three of NAS's board members. The first NAS board member I'd like to introduce is Tori Allen. Tori is the executive director of Arts Midwest and has been on the NAS board for almost six years, and is actually now serving as the board's vice chair. So welcome, Tori. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Darren. Great to be here.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to introduce Sydney Hargrove, who is the Executive Director of the Leaders Trust in Philadelphia, which advances the leadership development, healing, and wellness of Black and Brown movement and social justice leaders through responsive, high-touch, long-term capacity-building collaborations that are based in trust. So glad you could join us today, Sydney.
Glad to be here.
And actually, Sydney has been an NAS board member since about April 2020, and that was right at the height of the pandemic. So I'm sure he has some interesting insights to share. And lastly, and certainly not least, we are here with Josephine Ramirez, who is the newest board member with us today. And she's been serving on the board for the past 2 years. Josephine is the Executive Vice President of the Music Center, which is the Performing Arts Center for Los Angeles County, where she supervises all arts and culture programming. She has over 25 plus years in the arts and culture sector, working towards building a more relevant, accessible, diverse, and equitable field. So welcome, Josephine. I'm so excited that all of you could join me. So I have a couple of questions that I just, you know, kind of like to ask you. And I, you know, would just love for, you know, each of you to chime in and build on. And this can just be, you know, a conversation to help our listeners learn a little bit more about NAS and learn a little bit more about our board and the work that we do together. So first, I would love to know from each of you how you came to know NAS and what prompted you to serve on our board. You know what, Tori, how about you go first since you are our longest standing board member?
Sure. You keep making me feel like an oldie.
And I
feel
like no, not at all.
I feel like a newbie here. Let's see. So in 2011, I was invited into the NES, to the National, and to join National Arts Strategies, their chief executive program. And that I was invited by Russell Willis Taylor. And she is truly one of the legends in the global arts sector. And it was a game changer for me. I felt like I gained the equivalent to a master's in arts administration with a focus on business management, which is really super important. And I gained this incredible network of supportive colleagues from all parts of the national arts sector, from museums to zoos, folks, organizations with $100,000 annual budget up to $300 million, rural and urban folks. And all of it has been and continues to be a game changer for me. I felt so strong, such a strong sense of gratitude that I wanted to help out and wanted to do whatever I could to help NAS continue to make this kind of an impact on the lives of arts leaders as individuals and the sector as a whole. And I just love this organization.
Awesome. Thank you, Tori. And for those of you who don't know, Russell used to be our CEO, and now it is Gil Kreider. So just to give that little nugget of information there. So how about we go to Sydney next?
Yeah, so I think my introduction to NAS was actually through the Creative Community House in Vermont. I, in addition to my position at the Leaders Trust, have been teaching for the last 9 years at the University of Pennsylvania School of Social Policy and Practice in their nonprofit leadership program. In that same school sits the Center for Social Impact Strategies, which was a partner to the Creative Community House in Vermont. And I think I was there, but I think probably around 2017 or so, there was a Creative Community House in or CCH in Vermont, where the attendees, the fellows, had some challenges to present around whether or not equity was front and center in some of the presentation. And so the Center for Social Impact Strategies had asked me, since I basically my course is on equity and social impact measurement, if I would actually participate. So that was my introduction. I had no idea what NAS was, what it did, and really just fell in love with that atmosphere of leadership, emerging leaders, practicing now, really trying to figure out that intersection between social justice, racial justice, and the arts. And so after my second year, 2019, and prior to the pandemic, and before becoming a pandemic baby as a on the board, I got an opportunity to join the board, and I didn't look back from there. I just thought it would be a great opportunity to work with the organization.
Awesome. Thank you, Sydney. And yeah, thank you to CSIS for the introduction. I mean, you know, it's been such a pleasure having the opportunity to work with you over the last couple of years. So thank you to them. And so, Josephine, how about you?
I, you know, have the advantage of being a very long time arts nonprofit professional. So I've known of NAS since its inception, and had a long time kind of acknowledgement of its ability and its capacity to support the field. And I have many times benefited from not just probably things that NAS has had their hand in, but also the benefit of the colleagueship of a lot of folks, you know, like Tori, that have been through the program. And this, you know, particular manifestation and this particular permutation of NAS in this decade, I was introduced, sort of reintroduced to it at a closer level through another board member, member Kendra Ingram. And she and I had been working on a BIPOC fellowship program idea, which I can talk about later, but she kind of brought NAS back on my more immediate radar. And I felt like it would be a good fit for me at this stage in my career because the work that I do is about empowering the leaders in the division that I head and about bringing change to this large cultural civic institution. And so the ways that I can learn more about leadership and the way that I can share the leadership that I do know about, it just seemed like this is a perfect perch and place to do it.
Awesome. Thank you. And it's so interesting as I listen to the ways in which each of you have come to know NAS, it's a little bit different, right? And so, you know, Tori, who has been actually a participant in one of our programs, you know, very different experience. But then you have Sydney, who is like, has actually been on the ground and has seen our, you know, programs in person, has had a hand in basically the implementation of it, right? And then you have Josephine, who almost came to us kind of sight unseen. I mean, you know, not having actually experienced like on the ground our programs, but have experienced kind of, I guess, if you will, the fruits of our labor, right? You have been in and worked and collaborated with people who have gone through our program and who have benefited through our programs. And so that's really interesting. It's a really interesting take. So I just kind of wanted to point that out as we continue this conversation, you know, kind of like the difference in the ways in which you came to NAS. And so each of you has years of board experience, right? And so, you know, whether serving on a board or working with the board as an executive director or a CEO, I'm really curious to hear a little bit about your experience serving on the NAS board and how you feel like it's been different from your other board experiences.
I'll hop in. The sort of quickest, most efficient answer I have is I haven't been on a board that arranges agendas and organizes our time so much with a focus on reflection, on prioritizing the need for us as sort of the governing entity of this progression that we're trying to make in the world as NAS, to really sit in our seats and think about the bigger picture and leave plenty of space for that. It's not the norm in the nonprofit world, I think. And I think that's what really, really distinguishes us.
And what do you, like, just to follow up on that, I'm really curious, like, how, like, what do you see as the, like, real benefit or the power in that?
I think boards can get caught up in, and staff too, for that matter, you know, caught up in the day-to-day and, you know, budgets and kind of the issues that just kind of keep coming up. And those are not to devalue them and the amount of attention we do have to pay to those things, we hold a different thing as board members. We have to kind of pay attention to being the ballast, and that requires a different kind of attention and a different kind of cultivation than being able to respond to things. It's a different kind of strategic reflection that is super critical to the fulfilling a strategy. And if you don't have that, if you just have kind of more the long-term, short-term, strategic, almost tactical ways of addressing strategy, but you don't have like a very deep, grounded in vision, looking out way ahead type of practice of reflection, then you're not doing your best work to hold an organization and its promise.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think I'd love to add to that, kind of piggyback on that. My experience from day one with the NAS board was one of few boards that I've ever sat on where, number one, board members served in a thought partnership role, right? A thought partnership role with the team. If you were a fly on the wall and you didn't know where you were, you wouldn't necessarily see these huge lines drawn between the team and the board in board meetings, right? Because we're in this conversation about where things are going. And that's kind of very similar to what Josephine stated. The other piece was also one of the few birds early on where I participated, and the kind of the prioritized audience within the mission also was on the board, right? So that representation and that shared power and governance with the direction of the organization is something that you know I talk about often now with other when I talk to other organizations about governance. But this was like a real life example of it.
Wow, I love those descriptions that both of you have provided. Those are great and very accurate. I think for me, as I mentioned earlier, I still consider myself a newbie, but I would say the advantages are that the whole organization is committed to embracing and magnifying all the best practices. And the board has been and continues to be deeply infused with this ethos. As I think about all the boards that I've served on, this board clearly stands among the very best in terms of competence and experience and commitment. And also, I think in terms of shifting for me, I would say that impact and relevance and really seeking to understand core value proposition in the field continue to be high priorities. And from what I know, this is nothing new. I think this has always been the ethos of this board, which is spectacular. And one of the other things that I think I'm very happy about is that this board has served as a model for me and other boards that I've served on, and the advice I've been able to give those folks, and then my own organization, trying to have a board that embraces all the best practices. It makes such a big difference in the experience and how people feel and how the organization feels. So lots of gratitude in this space.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to comment on what you just said about the amazingness that, and I mean, that's the best word that I can come up with, of our board members. I mean, you all are just have such a wealth of knowledge and experience and expertise. I mean, you know, I know on any given week or day, and you are so open, right? So even outside of like just board meetings, I always know that I can, you know, reach out to Josephine or reach out to Sydney. Like Sydney is doing something for us next week, and you know, which I'm super excited about, to reach out to Tori and say, hey, this is either a challenge that we're grappling with, this is how we could use your additional experience or expertise or support, has been such a, you know, such an honor. And I've sat on a couple of other boards, and I can say that is not always the case, right? It's like, I don't necessarily reach out to the board members other than when we're in that dedicated space, you know, of a board meeting. And that is 100% not the case with this board. And so, and I think part of what makes that so valuable is that when we do come together, like Sydney said, like you're just an extension of our team. You know, you're part of, you know, it's almost like you're not this necessarily this separate entity. It's not like the NAS staff and then the board. It's like the entire NAS team. And it's just, it's a wonderful position to be in. I'm wondering though, if there are some disadvantages to the way in which, you know, kind of NAS structures their board.
I mean, I don't know if this is about the structure. And I also don't know whether or not this is simply because I came on board during the pandemic. But I feel like the way we're structured now doesn't lend itself toward opportunities to build relationship between board members. And some of that is about the way, like the kind of the structure of what you have to get done for a board meeting and not have, you know, and so you have to be really intentional about that. And I think often when, in my experience, when you have a space and a structure where board members can, especially this type of board, build relationship, it also turns back into an advantage for the organization itself. And that's just the only thing that I could think of that if I had, you know, if there were areas to advance and improve, I would say it would be in that space.
100%.
That's a really good point, Sydney. I'm correct me if I'm wrong, folks, but Darren and Carla, but I sort of sense that COVID was a big interrupter in this space, that there was more of this beforehand, and we still haven't kind of got our groove back in this space.
That is very true. 100%. You know, we used to always meet in person, right, as a board. That's one thing that has, you know, drastically changed since COVID. We don't meet in person as much. And then we used to always, you know, have, you know, a dinner the night before, you know, where we just all get together and it's not business as usual. We're just there to talk and kind of catch up and see how things are going. And that's one thing we do want to get back to. But you know what? It's just been really difficult, like, you know, trying to get back into kind of the idea of travel. And, you know, and I think we're all still kind of grappling with the many changes that have happened since COVID, and we haven't really found a real rhythm in our own like lives and organizations. So trying to get us all together, and you know, our other colleague, I'm sure, could speak to that, how, you know, difficult it is trying to get, you know, everyone in the same space at the same time, but it's something that we're working towards. And one of the other things that we're really working towards in that respect is like really thinking about like wherever we do have our in-person board meeting is to finding some tie between what we are doing as an organization and that place, and having some, you know, experiential kind of activities while we're there, either before or after the board meeting, as another way to connect and to build and to share. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Tori.
I thought a lot about this disadvantages thing, and I because, you know, we're all tend towards being, you know, smarty pants, critical people who like to make sure that, you know, we're doing some good thinking. And I guess, you know, if I was trying to be super smarty pants, critical, nitpicky, I would say, you know, as a national organization, given the kinds of divides that we have in the country, there's a tension between the kind of thought similarity that the folks on the board have that allows us to have this brilliant shorthand with one another about, you know, critical needs in the field and organizations, and I love that. And so those are advantages. I don't want to criticize it. At the same time, you know, there's a voice in me that's about the voices that we can't hear and the perspectives that we don't have on the board that are really, you know, sociopolitically not like ours. I'm not saying I think we should change the board structure so that we were completely reflective, but I do feel like there's a learning opportunity in there, because we're a national organization, to have a little bit more of a perspective that is quite possibly contrary to the majority of the people in the room, that, I don't know if it's, you know, board structure or if it's some way that we bring something into the room to reflect on that represents that piece that we don't have. I don't know if that's talking around it too much, but I feel like what we've been going through in the country and the impact of a different way of thinking about the need for diversity and the kinds of platforms that we tend to stand on. I want to understand that more and figure out if there's a role that we can play as an organization in making that space a little bit more friendly, I guess. I don't know, yeah. Sydney, Tori, if you are reading me, but
I'm reading you, Josephine. I'm just loving what you're saying today. You're pushing me into an instant reflection here. I would say, based on my experience, I've observed that, and I don't know if this has been a conscious thing by National Arts NAS. I've observed a shift, specifically around ethnocultural indices in just in the last seven or since I've been affiliated with the organization going back to 2012, were definitely different. But I think what you're talking about is a little bit more nuanced and perhaps even more important. And that's the next phase. And that would be great for something for NAS to model for the entire sector, because I think everyone is sort of now at phase two, where let's just have the visual kind of shifting, which I think we've achieved. Now, what's this next phase, which might be scary and which I think is a great thing for NAS to think about going forward?
Yeah, and I'm definitely picking up what you're putting down, Josephine, and that you make a great point. Absolutely, yep. And so you kind of alluded to this, Tori, just, you know, and thinking about the shifts. And so, you know, there have been some intentional shifts with kind of like the makeup of our board, you know, over the last, you know, couple of years. And, you know, really thinking about, you know, shifting in terms of both on our board and in our programs, right? Wanting kind of our board and the organization, our team, to look a little bit more like the kind of the makeup of the body that we're trying to serve, right? The full arts and culture field, where it was a little bit more homogenous at one point, if you will. And so I'm curious about any other shifts, you know, since you've kind of have the longest history with us, have there been any other shifts that you've seen over time with the board? And even NES, thinking about, you know, if you would kind of want to broaden it a little bit.
Well, I applaud you because I think this is a very thoughtful organization. And so we're all struggling with how do we show up now in a stronger way around equity. But I feel one thing I applaud this organization for doing is resisting the temptation to be performative in this space. And so there's been a lot of deep thoughts and moves. I think it sort of naturally thinks about how do we advance systems and not necessarily the showy, surfacey stuff, because we could have jumped in that group, we could have hopped on that bandwagon, and we haven't. We've resisted that. And so I applaud the organization for doing that. So I would say that's been great, that because there's been a lot of pressure in the sector to go superficial, lots of pressure, and we've resisted that. I would say now, at the same time, there's been this, real sense of a need to figure out how to be relevant. And you're clearly engaged in the kind of thinking that's long-term, so it's not gonna happen overnight. But I could say to anyone out there, this organization has been thinking about this. This is on its mind. You may not get the immediate hit, but the nucleus is reforming. It's happening. I know it's happening. When we're going to start to how it starts to bubble up and when it starts to bubble up, I'm not too sure, but I think that's happening now. But I can tell you that the nucleus is reshaping. There's some activity happening, and it's palpable.
Well, I don't know whether this is. I think this is aligned with what we're saying here. As a national organization that has a mission and works with a segment of leaders, arts leaders, others, right? It's one thing to continue to learn and advance the ways in which you engage them and the content that you offer based on understanding the moment that we're in, the moment that we've been in, and the challenges that we see. And it is another thing to be a leadership organization in that space that seeks to kind of talk about and or impact those systems level things I think that you were talking about, Tori. Right. And I don't know that we've, again, I still feel new, possibly because of the pandemic, but I don't know necessarily that we've wrestled with that. And to wrestle with that, ultimately for me, comes down to the principles that drive you toward it. Right. because it's not just about having thoughts about things. It's a embodied level of principle that moves you toward, I can't help but address these things, right? And it's a little bit like, we when I talk about like that, that in essence is liberatory practice, right? When your principles drive you in a way that show up in ways that you might not have shown up before. And it's and it drives you, like you almost there's no way around it. And you can have nuance. You don't have to come into things with a hammer, right? But you still lead.
Mm-hmm. Well said. That nuance, don't need a hammer, but you can still leap. Love it.
So, like, and so you bring up a good point, Sydney, or you bring up an idea, right? And it's something that we've been thinking a lot about, mainly, you know, because of your influence, right? So you talk about, you kind of identify yourself as a liberatory philanthropy leader and advisor. And you have done quite a bit of advising, you know, in this respect with, you know, on, you've advised us in some ways. And so we've been leaning on you quite a bit more recently to really educate us a little bit more about like what are liberatory practices, how we might embed these practices into our work. And I'm curious if you could share a little bit about, you know, kind of how you've been working with us to kind of help us to understand that and try to embed that more in our practice. And I almost hear you saying, you know, like we're kind of right on the precipice of struggling with this, but maybe not quite fully there yet. And so, I'm just wondering if you could give us a little bit more context about what that has been like in terms of working with NAS on that. And also, if I'll say this too, why do you think it's so important and how others might also think about implementing these practices?
I'll try to be succinct. It will be hard.
Okay.
I will say at the outset, like it's not about, are we there yet? Mm-hmm. It's, are we on the journey toward, right?
Right.
And I'll give some background. I think, you know, I've been in philanthropy and the social impact space for a little over 20 years now. And I've experienced the initial emphasis, interest in the word diversity and then ultimately in inclusion, right? And it was this great thing, right? We were talking about having different faces in the place. And then we started talking about, well, how do we make sure that they actually, the people, when diverse faces are in the place, like how they participate and feel included and et cetera, right? And then came like, you know, this post 2017, and not that it started in 2017, but just this real introduction and kind of advancement of equity cohorts. And people said, well, what's equity, right? Like, what's the difference between like what, and people would be talking about one and would actually be talking about the other. What I would say about that is the reason why years I've started to really embrace a growing understanding, a growing commitment, a growing aspiration toward liberatory practice is that it doesn't lend itself to checkbox achievements. Mm-hmm. It doesn't lend itself towards saying we are now diverse. People now report that they feel included. It's basically an embodied practice, as I said before, of principles that drive you toward doing things that you might not have done before. those embodying those principles, those the liberatory principles, will look different in different organizations, and that's okay. And you get, and we get to collectively learn on this, on a journey of what that is. So it's not like saying, okay, here's what it looks like, and here are the practices, and here's what you do. It gets embedded in the organization. You get to figure out collectively what that looks like. And I say, and so what the only, I mean, I did introduce a conversation about it at a board meeting, but the, I would say the majority of what I've done in relationship with NAS has been in the presentations, and both the CCH and the other and other areas where I've introduced this idea of what does it look like when this practice, some practice that we do all the time, gets driven by principles that are liberatory principles. And you go through this kind of process of imagining, reimagining what it might look like. But some things really important is you initially start talking about relationship. Like, how does it show up in relationship between board and team, between organization and community, between organization and leaders? And like, what, how does it show up? Those are some questions. And then you do start talking about like, well, what's our role in systems change? And how that might work. What does it look like as far as our lead, our structure of leadership? Are we structured hierarchically like most organizations just because that's the way it should be? Or have we wrestled with a different understanding of how power is shared and distributed in decision-making, et cetera, as an organization? A principle, principles around that will drive you to ask those questions. It really helped, you know, ask the question about, especially with target being, you know, those beneficiary organizations or communities that we might look at, what does it look like for them to experience a level of self-determination in how we work with them? How does that happen? How are they participating in our, in not just on our board, but just like in the way we do things? And then, you know, the one that certainly we're trying to work on at the Leaders, that we're really emphasizing going forward at the Leaders Trust, and we're new, right? We're a new organization, so there's no figuring, this is figured out, right? We're learning. But what does it mean if we have an idea, an approach toward resourcing that is collective and in its nature moves away from competition? How do we look at others who are doing the same thing, similar, et cetera, in our, in this space as deep and strong partners, such that we are not, quote unquote, we will not stand in competition as we're seeking resources from different places? Like, so there's a lot of questions, right? So there's no specific definition around it, but once you're committed to it, it is clear. You start to see clear examples of how you're behaving differently toward this aspiration of embodying what liberation looks like, what power sharing looks like, what self-determination looks like for your organization.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you said that, because I mean, I will say that in the past few years, especially since we've been having this conversation with you, Sydney, I mean, we've shifted a lot of ways in which we're working with our participants, right? So we're doing a lot of co-design, really sharing power with them in terms of like what the trajectory looks like for them while they're exactly. in this program. You know, we have you know, really started to be a little bit more, I mean, we've always been a little bit non-hierarchical in the way that we approach, you know, our team. But, you know, kind of now we agreed. Really do lean into a more distributive leadership model, the way we work with our team and kind of what we kind of like to call our senior leadership team. And I think you're right. I feel like maybe the one area that, we've thought about this, but we're kind of still wrestling with what does that mean? What does that look like? And I mean, I think, you know, kind of in the way that we work with our board, it kind of signals this. And I think we're leaning into these practices. But I do think that there is room and space for us to be a little bit more intentional about, you know, leaning into these liberatory practices as we think about the way in which we work with our board and how our board works with us and our programming and things. So great. Thank you.
And I agree with you. I think that there are excellent examples of having this thinking kind of drives, okay, let's ask ourselves questions and do some interrogating around the way we do things and then see what else comes out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so I want to ask you some questions, Josephine. So I'm going to kind of move to you and your expertise and experience with us. And so, again, you know, like we've mentioned, you are the newest member to the NAS board, but not necessarily new to NAS, right? But in thinking about, so knowing kind of like your long history with NAS, and then coming to our board, when you got here, like, what was your first impression? Like, now being kind of finally, you know, thinking about being on the inside rather than kind of seeing things from, you know, externally, from the outside, what was your first impression?
Probably had to do with, you know, what I touched on before about the way that meetings are structured to allow for the maximum, I mean, relatively speaking to what I'm used to, time for reflection and discussion. You know, most nonprofits are just like, kind of like, we've got a million things on our agenda and we're trying to like race through them. So getting used to like, oh, I don't have to do that here. Okay. So we're just going to talk about this. Okay. That was a big impression. Also, I think, again, nodded to this before, the ability to speak in shorthand with my colleagues on the board, coming from the sort of arts nonprofit practice of when you're trying to get through the introductions with people, like, where are they at in terms of what is critical for the field and why are you doing what you do? I'm a very mission driven thinker and doer and big picture thinker. And so my work and what I, you know, bring to it and to my sort of collective work with colleagues is like, how do we shift this field? How do we make us all more relevant, more public facing, more responsive, more resonant with the communities that we're supposed to be a part of? Coming to this board and, oh, I don't have to qualify things quite so much. People are just like right there with you when it comes to our, you know, and this is kind of an assumption on my part, but it's a lived assumption of like, everyone agrees we have to do something about this. And leadership is super critical to the way the field re-emerges in a way as a new kind of nonprofit practice that has arts and culture as its sort of driver. And I love having that kind of community for conversation, because so much of those of us in, you know, the sort of executive phase of our careers, we spend a lot of time negotiating and qualifying, trying to explain, making an argument, trying to be persuasive. So it's really nice to come into an environment where we're all like, okay, we got it, we're moving. that was a really refreshing and wonderful part of being on the board.
Awesome. Thank you. And I definitely understand what you mean by that. And so, you know, right now you also work with NAS on a slightly different capacity outside of the board, which is really interesting. And it's actually even taken on a new shape, right? So you work with us to deliver a program, right? So talk a little bit, speak a little bit to the fellowship, right? And talk a little bit about the connection you see between kind of how the board operates and how the staff as a team really carry out its mission. Like having seen, you know, on the ground and how we operate and implement our programming, what's the connection you see there?
Mm-hmm. So you're asking me to talk about my bout with sort of schizophrenia and wearing different hats being...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the project has gone through these, you know, infancy stage to we're sort of toddler now, kind of getting on our feet with the project. And it started with me outside of NAS with a colleagueship with Kendra, and as colleagues in this field of performing arts centers, a consortia of large performing arts centers in the US and Canada, and wanting to make some systemic change in the leadership and the visioning of these organizations going into the future. So we had a dream, being able to go and sit with NAS staff who immediately kind of said, yes, you know, we got it. You know, kind of like to what I was talking about before. We kind of get where you want to take it. Let us give you some of our expertise. In the early part of it, we drew on Darren's expertise as an evaluation expert in looking at how do we set this up and make sure we measure it for impact correctly, and also on the executive coaching side to provide these mid-career leaders that we're doing these fellowships with and for, with the best kind of coaching support that we could do. So NAS already came to the table with two areas of expertise that immediately kind of contributed to what it was that we were looking to do with this fellowship. And the dialogue back and forth, hats on, hats off in different roles, was always pretty flowing. And there was two other partners involved. So there was all kinds of conversations, at least two other partners involved in, you know, representing different stakeholders that were contributing to the establishment of it. And I love the way that both in terms of the presence of the NAS staff and the NAS board members holding this little baby in the middle, we were able to coordinate so well, to the extent that, you know, we're able to raise a substantial amount of money to get it on its feet and now to turn it over to NAS to take it to the next phase of its development as a program that's shepherded by NAS. And I can say Kendra and I are very much looking forward not having to be the, you know, constant, let's move it here while we're trying to do our full-time jobs on the side. So I have all respect and gratitude for NAS.
Can I just applaud you guys for something that's about systems change and not superficial? Like, that's going to make a huge difference in the nucleus of this system. So this is great. I'm just so proud of the work you're doing.
Yeah. And for those who are listening, just a little bit about the program. This is a fellowship really geared towards trying to increase representation of BIPOC folks in C-suite positions in you know, large performing arts centers across North America. So that's what this really is about. And it has been really interesting to work with our board members in this capacity, right, to actually implement a program versus just kind of working with the board member on, you know, kind of NES board related stuff. And so it's allowed me as somebody who's kind of now leading the direction or kind of like overseeing the direction that we're going, not leading it, we're leading it together, but overseeing the direction to kind of really draw on a different, you know, even more of the expertise of Josephine and Kendra, you know, as we kind of push this this fellowship, you know, kind of to new levels. And so it's been really eye-opening for me. And so I appreciate that. And so I want to kind of wrap us up a little bit here. You know, we've been having some really great conversations and some, you know, thoughtfulness in terms of like, you know, just what your experience has been with the NAS board member, some of the expertise that you bring to us, and kind of how you are helping to shape and move us kind of into, you know, this next phase, if you will. I'm really curious to each of you, and you can share in any order that you like, what advice do you have for our listeners working with or serving on boards?
I would just say lead with your values and values alignment with the organization, so that it's not a, you know, often you hear people say like, I'm, you know, it's a volunteer post. It is a volunteer post, but it's more than just simply volunteering. This is something where you are being called upon to help advance a mission. And so lead with your own values, interrogate and kind of understand what those values are and make sure that there's alignment, so that when things do get tough, if they do, like you have something to follow or to stay.
I think for me, competence and experience and commitment are super important for effective board leadership. If you're serving on a board and you're feeling like one of those areas is short, especially commitment, then reconsider. It's okay to move on. It's a volunteer position. Even if you signed up for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, it's always a volunteer position. You can move on. You don't have to be there. If you're unable to show up with real value, just think about that, because the energy that you bring to board leadership is so important. And if it stops being about service and it becomes more about self, then that's an issue. And right size that issue. Because like I said, the energy you bring to an organization is so important. And I think often underestimated, especially if it's negative. Or even slightly negative. So just remember that it's a service, it's a volunteer service. And if you're unable to step in a real valuable way, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the idea that people, professional staff say, you know, it's a volunteer dedication of mine. I would just say, make it count, yeah. You know, and keep in mind that organizations, put yourself as a, because most of the time, a lot of nonprofits, the boards are made up of some other people in nonprofits, right? This is a different game. You know, this is where you hold a different dimension than you do in your working life. And sure, you know, you need to support and advise staff as needed, ask critical questions, you know, read your materials and ask questions about the budget, all of those special tasks. But your role, more with the weight of the role, is about, again, that ballast and providing some steadfastness and steadiness on the whole. And because that's your support to the staff who are doing the work, is to keep reminding them of the whole boat. and that perspective, and keeping that perspective, is super important. But you got to make it count. So don't do it, to Tori's point, unless you're ready to make it count.
Absolutely. Thank you. And to that, I will say that each of you live that and embody that. You all make it count. And that's why this has been so special to me to be able to engage in this conversation with you. So I really appreciate it. I thank you so, so much just for sharing your wisdom and your experiences and your thoughts. You know, I look forward to continue to work with you and to many more conversations. And yeah, if there are any parting thoughts before we go? No. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And you all take care and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, folks. Take care now.
Happy holidays.
Bye. Bye. Happy holidays.